You are listening to the Intentional Talk Radio Network. Right here, ITRN Radio. It is a Tuesday. We've got a great show planned for you this afternoon. We're going to be talking to some legendary folks, folks who brought the best music in the world, the best music ever on the planet. We're going to dispel some myths. We're going to talk about what they did then and what they're doing now, and what we need to do in the Black community to bring it back. We've got to bring it back. So come on, stay with us. It is time to get what you really need to get. And remember, this is where we talk to you, for you, with you, and about you. And it is all good right here on ITRNradio.com. It's time to tell the truth.
And good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Change Matters here on the Intentional Talk Radio Network. As Colette said, this is part four of a five-part series called It's Time to Tell the Truth, because we really believe it is time to tell the truth. The topic for tonight is rap and hip-hop. Is it just entertainment, or is it really hurting our community? Now, before we get started, I want to first acknowledge that hip-hop has created a couple of billionaires and some millionaires, and there's been some positive music that has come from this genre. There's also what's called conscious rap, so this is not an indictment on the entire hip-hop or rap industry, okay? It's not against everything 100%, anything and everything rap and hip-hop. But the overwhelming majority of this music has devolved into a constant barrage of negativity, and it's having a deleterious effect on our community. Now, I want to start here with some lyrics. And before I start, I want to do say that for the purposes of context, I'm going to read these lyrics verbatim, and I am not going to censor anything. So if you have young people in the room, you might want to move them for a moment while I read these lyrics. This is going to be some choice language. I'm going to start with something by Lil Wayne called Ghoulish. His record called Ghoulish. He says, fuck Pusha T. And anybody that love him, his head up his ass, I'm going to have to headbutt him. This is someone named Game in a song called Dreams. It's kind of hard to imagine like Kanye West coming back from his fatal accident to beat making and rapping. Okay, someone named Cannabis off a record called Second Round KO. You might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me. Lil B's got a song called Wonton Soup. Eat that wonton soup. I got cash like Chang, Chang, Chang. Bitches suck my dick because I come in like 36 ways. Young Jeezy, Trap or Die. Got diarrhea flow. Now I shit on niggas. Even when I'm constipated, I still shit on niggas. Lil Wayne's verse on Tyga's Faded. She knows my dick. She called that nigga Richard prior to me coming. I had to stick my thumb in her ass one time. Smell my finger, make you vomit. Next one is Rick Ross. I got a couple more. Rick Ross put Molly all in her champagne. She ain't even know it. Took her home and I enjoyed that. She ain't even know it. Talking about drugging a woman. And this is another one. Now this one gets you by Lil Wayne. Beat that pussy up like Emmett Till. Okay. Here's something. Someone, Tyler the Creator, rape a pregnant bitch and tell all my friends I had a threesome. The last one is by DMX. And if you got a daughter older than 15, I'm a raper. Take her on the living room floor right there in front of you. Then ask you seriously, what you going to do? Next, I'd like to cite a few articles written about the negative effect on our youth. This first one is from the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Violent song lyrics increase negative emotions and thoughts that can lead to aggression, according to a study published in May of, I forget the year, but in May. The next one is a recent study by the Preventative Research Center of the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation in Berkeley suggests young people who listen to rap and hip-hop are more likely to abuse alcohol and commit violent acts. David Gergen, the executive director for the Center on Alcohol Marketing and Youth, Georgetown University, when we looked at magazines in 2002, we found that African-American youth ages 12 to 20 were exposed to 66% more advertising for beer and ale and 81% more advertising for distilled spirits. And the heaviest overexposure they got was for cognac and brandies, which have been tied up with the hip-hop and rap culture. A recent study from the Black Youth Project said that almost 60% of young black people listen to rap music, while just under 25% of young white people listen to the rap. And 70% of those young people said it did have an influence on them. Sexual objectification is the most common misogynistic theme in rap music, according to Weitzer and Kirbin, whose 2009 analysis found that 67% of the examined rap lyrics sexually objectified women. In misogynistic songs, women are described using derogatory terms such as bitches, hoes, or chicken heads. 21 Savage and Metro Boomin recently released a record, and in just 15 songs, the one album said pussy 83 times, bitch 33 times, and hoe 6 times. One more quick lyric I'd like to read. Schoolie D's PSK.
Oh, I don't know if I can take anymore.
Cop my pistol, jump into the ride, got at the bar, cop some flack, cop some chiba chiba, it wasn't whack, go to the place, who did I see, suck ass nigga trying to sound like me. Now I'll let you take a breath, but with all that being said, I'd like to go ahead and introduce our esteemed panel. These folks are all part of the ITRN radio family, and we love them, and they're all legends in the music industry and experts in this field, and that's why we brought them on here. First, we have Cheryl Cooley, who's the co-founder and the guitar player for the Climax Band. And with hits like The Men All Pause, Meeting in the Ladies Room, and Miss You, the music of Climax Band, led by Cheryl, was a staple in clubs and on the radio around the country in the 80s and 90s. And they still tour to this day, and their music sounds as good as it did back then, Miss Cheryl Cooley. Next, we have Paul Jackson Jr., guitarist extraordinaire, also known as the most recorded and requested guitar player in the world. Paul is a fusion urban jazz composer, arranger, producer, and he attended University of Southern California majoring in music. Paul has played with Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Howard Hewitt, Chicago, Elton John, George Benson, and just way, way too many to name. And last but certainly not least, we have the Waters family. And unless you've been under a rock, and that for the past 40 years, you've heard the Waters music. In addition to recording their own hits, Julia, Maxine, Oren, and Luther have also played with the who's who of music. Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, George Harrison, Barbra Streisand, Paul McCartney, Donna Summer. I could go on and on and on, but we would be here for days. And with all that being said, I'd like to thank you all for being here and agreeing to be a part of this. And we are going to get this conversation started. Colette.
Thank you very much, Ken. I don't know if I should say thank you or sock you.
Context. Everything's about context.
I had no idea. I knew that it was vulgar, and that's why we're doing this. But I'm just.
But that's why I did it, so that, because I don't listen to it either. But I know it's bad, and I just wanted to have some context and something from which we can work and say, wow. This is where we really are, and this is where we are.
Bad is putting it lightly. Mm-hmm. That's not simply bad. That is so far beyond vulgar until it's hard to fathom that somebody could put that to a beat and call it music and then have the audacity, the unmitigated audacity, to call it music, call it. It's vile. It's vile. It's vulgar. It is destructive. It is absolutely the worst. You cannot use that terminology and anything good come out of it. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. You cannot use that language and think that anything good could come of it. No, you just can't. So for somebody to say that that is talent, it's creativity, I'm shocked, because I haven't even, the ones that I'm shocked about, I haven't even heard that. So the ones that I'm shocked with, it's that bad. But to hear you go on with these so-called lyrics, those are not lyrics. Those are not lyrics. Lyrics are written to music. That is not music. And it's no wonder that our communities and our families are destroyed, decimated. Just, it's no wonder.
You know, you can't listen to that. And young people listen to music. You know, we listen to music, you know, as much as we could, hours and hours and hours upon the day. You know, our parents got on us about listening to too much. Psychologically speaking, you cannot listen to that much negativity and not be affected by it. That is indisputable.
Impossible.
That is
Absolutely.
Indisputable. It has to affect you.
Yeah, yeah. It has to, and it does, and it has. Look at the one thing, I can't even, anyway. Look at that list of, what is it, 50 people from 1987 to 2020?
54.
Everybody shot and killed? So what are we doing here? What are we doing here? That is not music. Those are not lyrics. That is not anything that anyone should listen to with any kind of reverence. That is disgusting.
And here's that
How
list.
How could somebody with children, with daughters, and they're listening to that vulgarity? That is vile. It is insulting. I'm insulted. That is sick. That's a sickness. That's what we should call it. It's a sickness. Okay? It is simply a sickness. Oren.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I think that it is something that is done purposefully.
Yeah.
And I think that it's winning to come to the defense of the creativity of the kids. It's what we, and when I say we, I mean me and you, have left the children to work with, because we have allowed our so-called leaders to take control of our children in a way that should have never happened in the first place. And so the plan that they have for us, the negative images and all of that, this is another sign of its effectiveness, that we have allowed this to happen. We let them take music out of the schools. We have dedicated our community and our people to a political party that has absolutely done nothing for us. It's misguided leadership on our part.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know it, but my family and I, we're a Gold Star family.
Right.
Our father gave his life, and our mother raised us. And she did not raise us to be victims. She raised us to be victors. And so in our attempt to keep things real, and number one, first, thank you for having us on your show.
Of course.
Begin with. And
of
so,
course.
So the way that we have been brought up is to look to yourself first. And as the word tells us, before you can see clearly enough to take the log out of your neighbor's eye, take the splinter out of your own eye. Mm-hmm. And so to look for a remedy to this, and the kids, and I call them kids because they are now our children and our grandchildren and stuff like that. Before we can just pour all the blame on them, we should look to ourselves and our own inability to give the proper leadership and to demand that those that are our leaders address our community. And we have not done that. And so this is just purposefully done to us, which is just another example of how the world image of our community is tarnished and poisoned.
Yes.
It's just another effective tool that they have used to degrade our community. And it's partly our fault, because we have dedicated and given ourselves to a political party, or political parties or whatever.
Yes.
That have done nothing for us. We demand nothing. We show so much dedication to those who have shown no dedication to us.
And we continue to do this. And we want people to think that we're so powerful.
Right.
We're so powerful. We're all about this, and we're all about. No, we're not. No, we are not. Look at us. And nobody else does this but us. Nobody else does this but Black folks.
Yes.
Nobody. Don't tell me about Eminem. Don't tell me about Vanilla whoever.
Don't tell me about anybody else. We're the only ones that do this. We're the only ones that destroy our own.
And you said
country
you
music,
said
I love the picture on here because I tapped something.
The Country Music Awards were on the other night. They did not have a display anywhere close to this. Okay. Not at all. I don't care how you slice it. We are destroying ourselves. This is part of the destruction.
Yeah,
this is part of the destruction.
It's on purpose.
It is on purpose. And we know, those of us that know it, those of us that know it, I would never say there's nothing that we can do. How do we do this? How do we fix it? There are ways to fix it.
Right.
And you're absolutely right, Orin. A couple of things you said. One was that we allowed it. And I'm a firm believer that nobody can do anything to you that you don't allow.
Don't allow.
You know, they can do it the first time. What is it saying? You know, screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me. And we are allowing this.
Yeah.
You know, we've allowed it to come to our communities. We don't do anything about it. We continually make excuses for bad behavior. We see these kids acting up, and we don't do anything about it.
No,
you know, we are as complicit as anybody else is in it. And you guys obviously know, you guys have been in the music industry a long time. They came in and they took the music over, and they made these young black men start with the negative rap. And they told them, you're not getting any money unless you do the negative rap. And they continue that, and they continue it, and they continue it. And people, that's why I started out by saying there's a couple of billionaires and some millionaires. But at what price does that come? You know, the price of the community, of the people. People come from other countries, and they think we are all like that.
Yes.
And that's why when you see people come from other countries, and an old Asian woman or an old other woman will recoil when she sees a black man, everybody gets upset. Why? Because these are the images. Hip-hop and rap, for the most part, I don't know what I'm going to say for the most part, but a lot of it has become the new minstrel show. You know, when you start looking at the guys with all the gold teeth in their mouth and the way they're acting, it is the new minstrel show. Have you seen the pictures of the money phones?
No.
No one's seen the pictures of the money phones. They take a stack of money. It's probably got a couple hundred dollar bills on the outside.
God.
And then they hold it up to the ear like it's a phone. Now, do not ask me what the purpose of that is. It is just something else inane that they do in this industry.
You know, my thing is, it's Julia. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Julia. Thank you for being here.
I'm trying to get on here at first, so I'm so sorry.
That's
but
okay.
You know what? It really does. It really did start in the home. I heard what a lot of what Orin said, you know, about the politics and all that, but I don't think it's necessarily politics. But it has to start in the home with the parenting that happened. You know, I agreed with the thing that they cut out music out of the schools, for one thing, these kids. And I can understand why it started, because everything's going to change. Even when our generation came in with our music, I know we were looked at sideways, you know, but it's the thing about the negativity and the lack of respect that these kids have for not only they have for adults, for their seniors. They don't have respect for themselves. And, you know, we had the woodshed. We had a hands-on mother. You know, like Orin said, we were raised without a father, but we had a hands-on mother. In the generation that these kids have come in, that hands-on went away.
Yes.
That because people had to be more in the workforce, I guess, you know, in the fields. And so their kids were left to just meander around and think about, you know, what they were going to do for themselves. You know, so to me, it started from it definitely starts from the home and the parenting allowing these kids to do certain things that shouldn't have been done. If I would have came in dressed like some of these young ladies dress, you know, and whatever, my mother would have snatched it off of me.
Okay.
And, you know, and dared you to put it back on.
I dare you.
You know, it came to a fact where now it's okay to look like that. It's okay to look sexually. So you lost your The young ladies don't have respect for themselves.
Right.
The young men don't have respect for themselves. So how are they going to have respect for young ladies? So all of that goes into this music. It's okay to call somebody. Can I say the word?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. I said it.
It's
I said
okay
it all.
To call somebody a bitch. Mm-hmm. No, no, no. That was fighting words back in my day.
Yep.
Yes.
If you call
yes.
me a bitch, then we was going to fight because then you know who you were talking about? You were talking about my mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so no. So it starts with that, you know, we didn't even say, I can't remember cussing in front of my mother.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. It
you know what? So all of this was all right.
Yes.
To these kids. So there's no respect starting in the homes. People took their kids. We were in church 3 or 4 days out of the week. I bet you we can count on the hands now people that go to church that not only don't go to church themselves, but grab up the kids and say, okay, you're going to go to church.
Right.
Kids are allowed to do their own devices.
They're left to do. Go ahead, Luther.
Right. Go ahead, Luther.
You know, how you doing, everybody?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
You all right?
Good to see you.
You know, the word says, train up a child in the way he should go.
There it is.
You know, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, right. and what has happened is as a society, we have now a new
millennial.
And what it is we tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
See, what Julia was talking about is when she said hands on, mama had hands on.
Right.
It wasn't the fingers. A lot of it was the knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line was that in that generation, in our generation, when our behavior had to be altered, then mama could use what force she needed to use.
Absolutely.
And then we understood what was tolerated by her.
Yes.
Now, when we watch a commercial, we can watch a TV commercial and hear, there was the other day, my wife and I were sitting down watching TV, and when she turned the channel, a curse word came over, and I said, you know what? 15 years ago, that word wouldn't have been said over TV.
No.
Lord knows how many, hundreds of thousands, let's not even say millions of people have heard. How many people, how many young folks heard that word and they started using that word? I was an educator also. And I remember the day I heard a young lady use the B word in my classroom. And I was shocked because when we grew up, like Julia said, we didn't use that word. You know what? I grew up in a house with two sisters and a mama. How could I use? You know what I'm trying to say?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I grew up with three sisters and a mama, and you were not using that word.
Exactly
not using
what
that
I'm
word.
Talking about. There's certain words that actually were not used.
Right. And
you know,
because we have lost so much of the family, because we've lost our values, because we have lost foundation, because
we've
lost standard. Because we have no values, it is no longer important to conduct yourself with integrity. It's no longer to have character. It's no longer necessary. We have technology. We have technology. We have technology. Sometimes I look at promotions that come over the internet and I look at Cheryl Cooley and the people that she's with. Nobody's going to stand there with the guitar anymore. Nobody's going to do that. They go to Guitar Center and they get a beat machine. They get a beat machine. Okay. And we think that that's okay. We've got people who tell kids that it's okay that they say these words. And let me tell you, I've worked at Crenshaw High School. Many of you know, Cheryl knows where Crenshaw High School is. So do you guys.
I worked there also.
Okay. Crenshaw High School used to be considered the upper of the high schools. Crenshaw today is the lower of the high schools. And I do mean that sincerely. And I do mean that in real time. It's one of the lower of the schools.
Yeah.
Everything that you can imagine is called out at Crenshaw High School. Everything that you can imagine is called out at Audubon. Everything that you can imagine is called out at those schools. There was a time at the schools when we would never hear girls referring to themselves as
That's the right.
Lack okay. of respect.
That doesn't happen anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. Now, when I was at Crenshaw High School, I had kids tell me, Ms. William, there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's a term of endearment.
And the N-word.
That's what I'm talking about.
We used it in the community amongst ourselves. You know, we did not go out into the general public and use that. You know, now it's, I mean, every record, and it's, and I'm sometimes somewhere and somebody drives by, and I'm embarrassed for these young Black people.
Yeah, I am too.
It's everything. And then it's all, sometimes, a lot of times it's preference, like some of their lyrics I just read. Punk ass and bitch, you know, it's, and these are your fellow brothers and sisters. And the denigration, you know, that happens is it permeates all through these neighborhoods. And one of the other things, and we want to go to Cheryl after this, is that now, remember, they were called neighborhoods. You know what the word neighbor means?
It means friendly.
Friendly. When neighborly means being friendly, that's a good thing. We've even taken neighbor out of neighborhood. Now it's just the hood.
The hood.
Yeah. It's just the hood. And Cheryl, would you like to chime in?
We've given validation to the hood. Mm-hmm. Now remember, I hope some of you guys, Cheryl and Oren and Luther and Julia and Maxine, I'm sure you guys know Steve Harvey. Well, Steve Harvey glamorized the hood because remember, Steve Harvey had the hoodie awards and everybody was supposed to be happy that he had the hoodie awards. Really? I thought that that was an embarrassment. And I feel that it's an embarrassment today. Not only is it an embarrassment, it's complete degradation of who we are. The hoodie awards, who else has the hoodie awards? Nobody. Nobody else has the hoodie awards. You've got certainly the country music awards, and they don't look like the hoodie awards. What does that stand for and what does that mean? And that goes back to where we are, down at the bottom of it all. Down at the bottom of it all, and we are responsible for that.
Yes, we are.
You know, our village disappeared.
We really are, because this is also,
I'm going to
reiterate this point, that is the formula that works, that continually degrades us. This bombardment is what it is, because in the case like you alluded to, with Steve Harvey and the Hoodie Awards, those are the things that are promoted. Those are the things that continue to create in our community the image of failure and disrespect and a whole bunch of other negative things. There are plenty of our young, talented individuals who understand the mathematics of rap, who understand the verbiage of rap, that they do not use it because those things are not the projects that get promoted.
Yeah, and there's not the money makers.
That's why I continually don't leave us out of the mix, because we are the ones that allow these so-called leaders to take precedent over the family. We have leaders right now that have been made definitely negative contributions to our community. And what do? We rally around them.
Yes.
We get nothing. We get nothing in return. We don't demand anything. And that's the part that frustrates me about us. It's because it is politics, politics, because those are the things that could make a difference. We can get on here and talk about our youth and criticize them, and they're young geniuses, in a lot of cases, misguided genius. And so because of that, they're lost. They're lost. The reading ability is so far down. The other things that would uplift our community, we are the swag of America to begin with. And we are the ones that have been thrown on the sacrificial fire with the images that you were talking about yourself. People come here and those images are imported throughout the entire earth. And so then they come here thinking this is how Black people are supposed to be treated, because we allow it. We allow our so-called leaders, and we rally in a stupid way.
Yes.
I'm controlling myself right now. I'm really controlling myself because it is our fault. that it we is. Have allowed it's ourselves to be compromised to the place that these images are being supported by our politicians, and we don't even do nothing. Yes. We don't do nothing about it except go, okay, give me some hot sauce.
Right. Exactly.
It's our so-called leaders. So it is. Well, excuse me, Julia. It is our so-called intelligent supposed to be us that we have allowed ourselves to be manipulated in a negative way. And of course, it affects our children. The constant bombardment that they get, the constant self-hate, that we don't even love ourselves.
Right.
So because of those things, it is a reason for my frustration.
Right.
And we don't those are, on ourselves to correct.
Those right? are the reasons that we are stepping backwards.
Yeah.
We're stepping backwards.
We are going backwards.
Backwards to the tune of, you know what? George Frazier has just written about the new slavery. That's us. He didn't write that about anybody else. That's about us. The new slavery. Forbes magazine. Economically, we will be at zero in a short period of time. But you got folks using money as a phone. They listen, nobody else would do that. And people that know about money ain't going to use it as a phone. It's not going to be a phone.
They don't have that much cash sitting around. Okay. Nobody that understands money has that kind of cash sitting around. There's no reason to.
And all that does is prove the ignorance. It proves the vulgarity. It proves what is so ignorant, but what has overtaken our communities. It has overtaken our communities, our families. It has overtaken everything about us.
Yes.
And we're sitting back and you know what? I think most of our listeners already know that we are not fans of BLM. We are not fans. We are not fans. And I am not afraid to say it. We are not fans of BLM because they have set us back 400 years.
Well,
they have set us back. And if you don't believe it, look out your window.
Yeah.
Look out your window. Okay. See what's going on. See what's going on.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that.
So we've done it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Stop talking about what somebody else is doing and you're waiting for this and you're waiting for that. They don't care.
And Orin, and
because they know you're gonna wait for them to do what you think they're gonna do.
And Orin, you say Orin, you talk about we don't demand things. The things we do demand are stupid, just flat out stupid.
And things that don't matter.
Things that don't matter.
But we lost our village. Mm-hmm. We black people lost our village also.
That's right.
Because I've seen that around you. You know, you want to say something to these kids when you see them doing something. And these parents, you can't say nothing to my kids. And then they say in turn, you can't say nothing. You ain't my mama. So it's like, you know, we came up in a village. If we were down the street and did something before we would hit home, it would already have gotten home.
Somebody saw you.
And then you get taken care of again. But see, we lost the village. We lost all of that stuff. So it's really on us.
It is. And we've lost our way. I was talking to Cheryl yesterday. And Cheryl Cooley, a legend. We all know who Cheryl is. We grew up listening to Cheryl Cooley and Climax. We grew up listening to The Water. We grew up listening to Bernard Fulton. Okay? We grew up listening to all of this. And people, what these folks don't understand is that young people want to talk about what's irrelevant. What they don't seem to understand is their destruction. Yeah. This, you will always be relevant. What they have done is destroyed our relevancy. That's what they've done. They have destroyed our relevancy. When was the last time you saw somebody who was even comparable to Orin, to Luther, to Cheryl, to Julia, to Maxine, to Bernard? When was the last
time you saw somebody? There's absolutely nothing out there like that.
Nobody. And please believe me, I'm not the kind to stroke. I've known you guys a long, long time. It's unnecessary. I don't need to stroke. It's a fact. It is absolutely a fact. They talk about, I think it's Lizzo. Am I saying her name right?
Lizzo,
okay. Lizzo. Cheryl is cracking up because she she knows, I don't know. Lizzo plays, I think it's Lizzo that plays the flute. I don't care what she plays, because what she plays is absolutely irrelevant to her demonstration of who she really is. And them other two, the one that's a horse,
Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan the horse. How is it she can compare herself to a horse and it's okay? It's okay because she's a stallion. And I hear she is a graduate of some college. But wait a minute. Is that what graduating from college has done for you? That's a very, very, very sad thing to say, because look at that display on the awards. Look at her behavior with that other girl. And our girls are looking at that thinking that that's okay.
As the stats,
remember when Debbie Allen was the choreographer for the Oscars? Remember that? Debbie Allen never did anything like this.
No. And
never.
I just want to reiterate what I said earlier in the opening, that a study from the University of Pittsburgh stated that a person comes across 251 references of drugs per day in rap, compared to 5 references per day in pop music. And you know, pop, that term pop is going to go across subgenres. You know, 251, you know. Now, if you take that same sort of metric and ask about the derogatory comments, how many times have you heard a country music singer call their women the B word and the H word and that? You don't. You don't hear it in jazz. You don't hear it in any other music, only in rap and hip hop. Now, some people might say there's a difference between rap and hip hop. They're still subgenres. They're almost the same thing. To me, they're one and the same, you know. So the issue is that the negativity is there, and it's not that it's just there, but it permeates. If it were one or two or just some people, but it's everybody, and that's the only way they make money. And it's the new minstrel show. They're acting like fools. Flavor Flav with the teeth and the clock around his neck and all this. It's come on, folks. What are you doing? What are you doing? And it is really 70% of black babies being born to single mothers. Okay. And that's not a case like you folks where you're a gold star family, your father gave his life for this country. These are women who are just getting pregnant.
No, we understand.
And you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, it is very difficult for a woman to raise a man. It's very difficult. There are success. You guys are a success story. There are some success stories. It's not 100%. But in today's world, especially the way they're doing it with all of the bombardment of all the negative images, the negative talk, and the fact that everything is okay, no matter what you do, it's okay. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And the kids are running rampant, and we got a problem, and we are on the decline. The Forbes magazine article said the black community was going to have a net worth of zero by 2053. We think that's accelerated. I'd be willing to bet it's more like 2040. We are going to be broke. We've got no black businesses in the community. You know, Colette, I sent you an article on the other day talking about Asian businesses and Hispanic businesses. Grocery stores. Where are the black grocery stores? You know, if you look at the people, if you look at
we do not demand anything. We do not demand. We support a system that does not support us.
Mm-hmm.
These images that they are now putting forward, it's not an accident.
No.
And it is by far not the only images that our black kids can produce. We got young geniuses, but those are not the ones that are being promoted. And why aren't they being promoted? Why aren't they being supported? Because our so-called political leaders have sold us out continuously.
We
continue to go for it. We continue to allow it to happen.
We had a program a few weeks ago called Black Men in White Coats, all doctors. They've got a program. It's a great program, and they have a summit every year, and I played some of the video. It was a video of a young man, looked like he was 19, 20, 21 years old, young black man at the summit talking to doctors, and he was excited. And you know what he said? He said, "Now I have permission to be great." Now let that sink in. This is a 19, 20, 21-year-old young man, black man, who did not know that he had permission to be great.
All he needed to do was rap. And I cannot tell you how many kids have said to me, "Ms. Williams, I got skills. I can rap. Want to hear my beat?" No, I don't. I really don't.
You know what, Yolanda? Though,
Cheryl.
That rap.
Cheryl.
That rap.
Cheryl.
It's a great art form, but they have used it in the wrong way. Yes. Because it is a great art form. And like I said, that's why I said.
Yeah.
It's definitely not new because we had it back in the day. They didn't
Gil Scott Heron.
Gil Scott Heron, Last Poets.
The respect that they use in their lyrics, along with that rap, that makes it distasteful to us. But yes, the art form itself is really a beautiful art form to me.
Right.
It's a lot of it that I've heard that has been positive, but you can't understand, you know, exactly what some of them are saying. Right. But it is an art form. So I have a problem with saying it's rap and it's junk and it's poop, but it's not the rapping part so much in all
it's
of
it's the
them.
Vulgarity
it's the
of it
lyric,
all.
It's the content, it's the lack of respect that they have in the context of what they are doing. And taking music and stuff out of the school, we had to woodshed. We had the opportunity to do music lessons. You playing your guitar there.
Right.
You know
and,
what I'm saying?
Yes. And it's unfortunate.
You had to learn. You had to take music lessons.
Yeah, you had to take music.
These kids get them and they just get on a thing and they think that a beat is what it's about. And you had no training.
No training. Because if anybody can get a beatbox. Anybody can get a beatbox.
Appreciation for all types of songs also.
Right.
All
and,
types of music. You know,
and
from gospel to rock.
Music lessons cost money. We
need
accessibility to capital so we can have businesses.
Well, that's
why I genuinely say that we support a system that does not support us. We can't go get loans. We can't have the finances to do all these things that we want, that we need to do. Because we don't have accessibility to capital. We cannot go and open the store with no money.
Right.
So this is why I continually go to the politicians and those that we have dedicated our time, our life, our energy, and everything else. And just, I'm going to say this one thing. I'm going to leave it alone. What you were talking about a few minutes ago is so true. Because what happens is a person will come with a different attitude in our community. And they become ostracized by, you must be a Tom, or you must be a this, or you must be a that. And what you're bringing is a new flavorful opinion that is different than what the status quo is. And obviously the status quo is not working.
Yes.
We need access to capital to have business. We just can't go and go start a business with no money. We can't just give our kids music lessons and with no money.
And
we need access to capital. And that's why I continually talk about our fake political leaders that are nothing doing but raping us. And so that's why I continually go to the place where we can acquire capital. We can have people lobby for the black community. But what do? Nothing.
Absolutely
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And when I think about from whence we came, I was watching Hitsville, the making of Motown. Mm-hmm. And I may have mentioned it to you, Cheryl and Julia, I may have mentioned it to you. There were things in that documentary that were absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. From such humble beginnings where Berry Gordy had absolutely nothing. He came from nothing. And he built an empire. And he sold it because the black community could no longer support him. It is absolutely amazing. It is astounding. I look at the music that we grew up on with Bernard Fulton, Harold Melvin, and the Blue Notes. I listen to Cheryl Cooley in Climax. I'm still listening to that And I'm asking myself, how did we go from that to where we are today? We had music appreciation classes. There are no more music appreciation classes. Oh. It's no longer music appreciation. And I'm thinking, how is it right now, today, here we are, 2021, 2022, and we don't have a choice in what we listen to. I haven't listened to the radio in my car for about 4 years. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't turn it on. And Cheryl, if I'm not listening to you, I'm not listening. I mean that seriously. I don't turn the radio on. If I'm not listening to The Waters, if I'm not listening to Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, I'm not listening. And I'm being very, very, very honest. I'm not listening. So when I do hear what you guys have done, and I reflect a lot back to 1989 when I had The Waters at my pageant, and you guys came and performed, I reflect on that quite a bit. Quite a bit, because those were the rich times. Those were times when we were rich. We're no longer there. As I said a few moments ago, we're back 400 years. And that's why George Frazier has written a book on We Are Back to Slavery.
I got to get that book.
I'll tell you about it. I want to go to Cheryl real quick, and then I'm going to go to Bernard. But Cheryl.
Yeah.
Cheryl has... She's been just like you guys all over the place. She is legendary. One of the things that we keep, and Bernard said the other day that when he sees Yolanda and my number come up, what am I going to do? Can't turn her down. He said, whatever she wants, got to do it. Yes. Yes. Because there's no way, absolutely no way that you guys are going to just not be legendary. You're already legendary. You're already legends. But we've got to bring you back to the forefront so that this current generation, the millennials, the Gen Xers, that they probably will never have the appreciation for your music that we have, but they have to be reintroduced to what made the Black community great. And it was you all. It was each and every one of you, because they can't follow in your footsteps if they don't know anything about your footsteps. They can't follow in your footsteps. And why would they not want to? Why would they not want to? Because where they have planted themselves, it's destruction. It is simple, unadulterated destruction. And the proof that we have, as Kenny Hendrix showed us, look at that list. Look at that list. When was the last time we heard somebody doing what Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes did? Okay, when was the last time? We haven't heard it. We just haven't heard it. And Cheryl, I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to Bernard, and we're going to also talk to Maxine. Cheryl, you're still all over the place. Tell us what's going on in your world. I know you're going to keep laughing at me, girl. I know.
You know, I love to laugh. You know, I'm hearing the comments here. I agree with, you know, 99.9% of everything. You know, things will never be the way they were. Everything has been deregulation. You know, the music industry has been deregulated. The radios, the stations have been deregulated. The schools have thrown out, you know, how to teach music. Why learn an instrument when I can push a button? Right there. That was what I run into all the time. I go into a music store, a guitar center. I'm the only Black, the only woman. So it's like, what? I'm in the wrong store, you know? Don't have me go to the counter and ask for, you know, 10 gauge guitar strings. It's like, oh, are you getting this for your granddaughter? And they're looking at me like, oh. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in the foundation of it that's not there anymore. Yeah. And I mean, we can't depend on the government. So now we start looking for private money to do things for private schools. Yeah. And still, there's nothing there to attract the younger kids to want to go there? Why do they want to sit and learn how to play a guitar? It's going to take them 1, 2, 3, 4 years to play a G minor 7 in the funk of F. I don't know. They don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah.
I just put something in the chat. Everybody, when you get a chance, copy and paste that and take a look at that. That is a video I watched today. It's called Why Jews Are Richer. And that video, we can learn something from, because it talks about how Jews take care of each other. And when somebody's in the community is down, they all gather together. And it talks about how they teach their kids certain things and how they rely on faith. And they teach their kids about finances. They teach their kids about businesses and how they couldn't own property in Europe back in the early part of in the 1900s. They couldn't own property. So what they did, rather than wallowing in their mire, they opened businesses, and they knew they were needed and they had something that people needed. So they found ways to get around it. Now, I know a lot of times a lot of people get upset with a lot of things that Jewish people do, but we're not going to get into that. The fact is, you can a wise person can learn from anybody. You know, and that's what they do in their community. And the guy that used to own the Clippers, when he said Jews take care of each other and black people do not, he was damn right. He was damn right. And everybody set their hair on fire because he had the audacity to tell the truth. And that's what we're doing here tonight, having the audacity to tell the truth. Bernard, let's bring you in. What are your thoughts on where we are in music today? What do we have to do? How did we get here? And what is the reason for this?
I really don't have an answer as to how do we get back to or how do we get back to the way things were, because there's so many factors. For first of all, you know, without music in the schools, there is no incentive. You know, everything is independent now. There's no more major record companies.
Record labels,
in their, you know, garage somewhere. I don't really have an answer as to how to infuse these younger people into wanting to be into, you know, the theory of music. I don't have the answers. I mean, I go out there and perform and hope that I can inspire somebody, you know, anybody, somebody, please, you know, write a song, write poetry.
Yeah,
I don't know what else to do, you know, I mean, other than to be an example.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as the music industry itself, I don't have an answer because there's so many factors. You know, the corporations have, you know, nitpicked what they need to make a profit. You know, you can make your own independent label now and throw chains up against the wall and record it and make millions of dollars off of selling that as a recording. Right. I'm sorry. I don't have an answer. All I can do is be an example to show what it could be like if you go the same way I did. I don't mean to make light of it, but I don't have an answer for you. I'm sorry.
No, I understand. It's a difficult proposition. We are in a really, really bad place. And one of the things I want to say, and I want to go to Bernard after this, is that when they did that, when they came into the music industry back in the 80s and they started to do something with rap, see, music means more to our community than it does to other people. Music is our life. Music is our soul. We live and breathe for the music. And we came up with, you know, Marvin Gaye and the Isley Brothers and you folks and all this beautiful music. And we had message music back, you know, as early as Sam Cooke with I Was Born by the River.
Change gonna come.
Incredible music with messages that just are mind blowing. And now we've got lyrics that say, I don't want to use those cuss words again.
Don't say it again.
But I mean, come on.
Yeah, don't say it again.
Come on.
People are saying
that
experience. That's what we experience.
Yeah, but see, this is their excuses. This is what young people's excuses. Well, this is the streets. This is what we do today. But see, we telling about it and performing about it in a different way. They're just saying it. They're glamorizing it. You know, some of these lyrics, some of you weren't on with when I read some of those lyrics at the beginning of the show. I mean, some of it is just like, you have got to be kidding me. You're rapping about diarrhea?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, come on, really?
You know, so that's where we were. And I do want to bring Bernard in and to get to take on how he's feeling about things and what he thinks, you know, where we are.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, you know, I'm not trying to oppose or disagree with everyone saying here, but I remember in the 50s when Elvis came out and he was gyrating, everybody went crazy. Everybody's parents said, that's disgusting. How dare he do it? So everybody expresses their music. Each generation expressed their music their way. I disagree with some of the verbiage that they're using in this present day music with these young folks, but they're getting paid to do that. That's exactly what the man, the administration wants them to do, to tear down the Black family, to disgrace it, to make monkeys out of themselves, and to be as derogatory as they can towards each other. Our women, call them bitches, call them out their name, talking about stealing and killing. They're getting paid for that. We can't pay them.
Right.
We don't have the money to pay them. So they're going to the people who's willing to pay them. If we could take care of our own, support and employ our own, we would be able to eliminate a lot of this. But we can't afford to do that. So they go to these people who's paying. I always said, you know, if I had enough money to employ, and I think a lot of these millionaires and billionaires, these athletes, they need to pool, put their money together, stop building more factories than churches, start employing people. Then we could get our people to do what we want them to do. But if we can't afford to pay them and put food on their table or buy them a car or a house, what are they going to do?
Right.
I don't agree with it, but that's where they're going.
But you're absolutely right. We've got, I think there are 11 Black billionaires in the country.
Yes.
11 Black billionaires in the country, and who knows how many millionaires. You know, if they all got together, and don't give anybody anything, if every one of them put $1 million in a Black bank, and that money was earmarked for our community, we could do a lot better. And that's why I sent that one of the people to watch that video about Jewish people, because that's what they do. They support each other. We have enough Black billionaires and millionaires that they could pool their money together and start supporting the community. The fact that we can't pay them, we could pay them.
Right.
It's not that difficult. They just, the conglomeration just tried to buy Crenshaw Mall, and they got turned down for buying it. Okay, guess what? Buy up all the little stores around there and make sure people come into those stores and put them all out of business.
Correct.
You have to have a plan. And you don't run into an obstacle and say, all right, I'm done. They didn't let me have it. You got to keep going. You have to keep pushing.
It's right. Not a matter of them letting.
Letting me. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But that's what people think. That's people's attitude. They didn't let me do it. That's people's attitude.
Well, it's called miseducation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Educating us.
Yes, it is.
Telling
yes,
us what is. To do, what not to do, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. And we're accepting what they say instead
yes.
of. That's why. I'm a firm believer, and I don't want to get militant on you, but I'm a firm believer in separate but equal.
Absolutely. Yes, we are.
When we were separate and equal, we had our own buses, our own
yes,
hospital,
we did.
Our
yes,
own
we did.
Transportation. But then they convinced this one guy to become the Pied Piper of Black people and lead us over into integration. And we lost everything.
And he realized that toward the end.
And he did. And he realized, he said, I'm afraid I learned my, led my people into a burning house. He did.
Yes, he did.
Lost everything. So I believe that we need to start getting things back for ourselves, to do for ourselves. Don't expect anybody to do for us what we're not willing to do,
for ourselves. Absolutely.
We need to start doing for ourselves. We need to, okay, you want to go out? If there have to be a sacrificial lamb and somebody's got to go out and sell themselves to get the money to bring it back so we can start producing. We are non-producers. So whatever the highest bidder want us to do, that's what our young kids are going. They can't look to us and say, I'm going to go to the Black bank and I'm going to borrow money to start a Black business. It ain't happening.
Right.
We have nothing. These guys get these houses. You get a contract for a $100 million house. Well, what's wrong with buying a $3 million house in a nice community? No, they got to buy a $100,000 house, $100 million house.
Yes.
In some neighborhood they can't afford when their career is over, they're out of that neighborhood.
Okay.
Afford the upkeep of the neighborhood.
That's right.
Why Why don't you spend $2 million, $3 million, get you in a nice community? Why don't we establish our own communities?
Yeah.
Our own banking system, our own jobs. We had the Negro League, no more. It's the National League now.
Exactly.
When Castro came to America, he stayed at the Waldorf. He was in there. He didn't trust the CIA, so he was cooking chickens, killing chickens, and doing all kinds of stuff. They threw him out. He went to a black hotel in New York. I forget the name of it right now. Somebody can help me. But he went to that hotel. He was so thankful to the black people for taking him in and bringing him to that hotel. He opened the door for black people in Cuba. Thank you. You know, he welcomed them. He did everything he could to shield and shelter the people from the Black Panther Party that were running from
the United States government. You're absolutely right. That's right. I remember that. That's right.
By the way, that was Hotel Teresa.
Hotel Teresa. We have nothing now.
If you go to a store like I am right now with a t-shirt on and they ask you to leave, where else are you going to go?
Exactly. And remember, we were brainwashed into thinking that Castro wanted to create communism everywhere. We were brainwashed into thinking that. Okay.
Correct.
Yes, because Castro was corrupt. Okay. Nikita Khrushchev and Fidel Castro. But we have, and as I said a little while ago, we have been pushed so far back. We have been pushed so far back. I don't even know what day it is anymore.
No, me
either. We've been pushed so far back. When Berry Gordy sold Motown, I happened to be there in the building picking up printing work. And I was with his son. And his son said, "Ooh, okay, we got to go. They're kicking us out. They're kicking us out." Okay, and when I found out that Motown was sold for $60 million, I said, $60 million, is that all?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me some of you drug dealers around here couldn't put together $60 million to buy Motown? Really? What? I thought that was ridiculous. I thought that was absolutely ludicrous. I really did. And that was back in what, 19 what? Do you guys remember?
Yeah.
It was 1991, 92. Maxine, do you remember?
It was 1988.
1988. I kept saying, what are you guys, why are you letting Motown go? Really? I say the same thing today. Stephen Curry is joining up with Universal, NBC Universal. They've got something going on. Every day, I'm looking at somebody like Stephen Curry and Shaquille O'Neal and LeBron James and those people doing things with Universal, with Sony, with Warner Brothers. And I constantly say, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Those are not the only black folks on the planet. This ain't Uranus. This ain't Uranus, y'all. There are lots of folks here that can do things, that have the skill, the talent, the knowledge, the know-how, that can do what you need them, what you got them doing. We can do it all. We can do it all. Why aren't you hiring the Waters? Why aren't you hiring Bernard Fullan? Why aren't you bringing Cheryl Cooley back? What are you doing with these guys?
Well, listen.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, honey. My grandfather told me that if the man has the mule and the plow, what does he need you for? He told me that I should get one, the plow or the mule. So I'm not for hire. I'm not for hire. I believe in doing for myself. I believe, you know, today my grandson told me, he said in school, he calls me a boo. He says, in school, boo, my teacher was talking about how bad North Korea was. And then she asked us, what did we think? And he said, I told them that America does the same thing that North Korea does. I said, why did you say that to him? He said, because she asked me. I said, look, if they ask you a question, all they're doing is figuring out where everybody disappeared. I can only see your name, Colette. But I said, all they're doing is asking you for your opinion so they'll know what you're thinking. Stop telling these people what you're thinking. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, you went away somewhere. Okay.
Well, she'll be back. She'll be back.
All right. I said, stop telling these people what you're thinking. All they're going to do is write down, well, okay, this person thinks like that. Mm-hmm. They always want to know what we're thinking. And we're always giving our opinion. We need to stop telling them what we're thinking and start doing.
And start doing, yeah, absolutely.
We need to start doing for ourselves and stop all this wanting to hold hands. And we'll hold hands with them after we get ourselves together. We need to have a closed door meeting, talk about what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, what we're going to do for ourselves. And once we get that plan together, then invite them in if we want. I'm not for being discriminatory, but I'm for getting ourselves together.
Yeah, it's not about being discriminatory. It's about, again, taking care of your own house before you can take care of somebody else's house. But I want to bring Maxine in here as well. Maxine, you've been very patient sitting there, and I want to get your opinion on the things that we're talking about. And go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm really been enjoying listening to you guys, you know, but really my opinion is this is the whole world's been going into a dark place for some time now. So the music is going there, too, especially ours.
That's true.
We're the only ones that we haven't ever pulled together, ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every other nationality does. So I'm not really surprised at anything. I'm just enjoying what you guys are saying. And I agree with most of it. You know, of your opinions, especially Oren. So that's why I'm being kind of quiet. Hello?
Yeah, we're listening.
Oh, okay, I wasn't for sure if my phone went out or not. It goes out sometimes. But anyway, I would like to see us pull closer together and everything, but right now, everything is so split up and... You know, I'm really a believer in Jesus Christ and the Bible, and it's all really in there. Everything is going down, 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 you know, and unless we grab on and try to hang on to positivity, and I don't know if we can do it as a race. We've got to do individual, out of the home, one-on-one, everything each of us can do to keep it going. We already lost. We've been losing generation after generation of the crack cocaine came in, hit us bad. You know, all kinds of stuff.
That's true.
We get the worst of everything. So we lost a generation of people who's now their kids are making the music, and that generation, they came from that group of parents. So I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. And we are in a bad place. And we are in a very bad place.
Each generation that we trying to hang on in there. You know, each generation down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, we don't have a whole lot.
It's all in there. Your reprobate mind. What used to be right is wrong, and what used to be wrong is right. And everybody's like okay with it. So I don't know.
Yeah, and we don't have a whole lot of time to recover. You know,
no,
and
we are
boomers. While I was on this call, are boomers.
Well, I wouldn't expect a recovery to how it was in the good old days.
Yeah, no, it's not going to get back to. But we've got to do something to. And I think part of the problem is we didn't want to be as hard on our kids as our parents were on us. And I think that was we wanted them to know that you can do anything you want and we don't have to be hard on you. And I remember I remember when I was about 10 years old.
America's great and we're gonna do it up. Yeah, and then we let the ball drop.
Yeah,
from where our parents were, they weren't going for none of that.
Yeah, they weren't, and that's what we should have done. I think that's what we need to get back to. I remember when I was about 10 years old. Yeah. I think the whole family was walking down the driveway and my dad had put some bricks on the side and I'm like 10 years old. I was walking on the bricks. We got in the house. My dad called me, come here. You know, when he does that, you know, say, you know, you're in trouble. I'm like, what? He says, can a car fit down the driveway? I'm like, yeah. He said, well, why do you have to walk on the bricks? You know, because I'm a kid. And I recall, a few years, well, more than a few years ago, when my oldest son was about, he was about 10, 11, 12, about 10, 11, he was walking on the bricks in the front yard that I had so carefully put out there and was proud of. He's walking on the bricks. And I got ready to say something, and I didn't, because I didn't want to be my dad. He's 10, let him walk on the bricks, I'll fix him. But at the same time, at the same time, without that sort of discipline and that sort of, for lack of a better way, you're probably just beating things into your head. You know, they lost something. And again, like Colette always talks about, the technology, all of a sudden technology comes into place and everything is so immediate. They want it now. They want it now. My other son, I got home from work one day and I said, what did you eat for lunch? And he told me, I said, why didn't you eat some leftovers left for last night? He said he didn't want to wait on the microwave. I'm like, dude.
Ooh, bye.
You know, so... Dude. They see things very differently, you know. Fortunately, some of them are okay, but a lot of, and not just our kids, across the board, white kids are lost, Asian kids, a lot of them are lost. You know, the problem is with all the negativity coming from rap and hip hop, ours are doing worse. Our kids are doing worse. 70% of black babies.
Well, we have less capital, like we keep.
Yeah, exactly. But let me push back on that. We have less capital in the community. We've got, again, like I said a few minutes ago, we've got enough billionaires and millionaires to put some capital somewhere and start reinvesting in the community. We don't reinvest in the community.
Exactly.
No, we don't. But guess what?
We don't love us.
They know that. The people with the money know that.
Yeah.
They're sitting up here saying what they should do. They already know that.
Right.
They're not going to do that because we don't pull together as people. They're not thinking about that.
No, they're not.
Because they know that. They know just like
they already know. They already know. So
I'm trying to tell you.
Right. They already know. So just like the prediction.
We're not saying anything profound. They already know.
Just like the predictions come from Forbes. The predictions come from U.S. News and World Report. They come from all of these top-notch magazines with prolific writers and speakers, and they can write about us, but it doesn't move us. It does not move us, and the reason it doesn't move us is because they know most of the people are not going to read. If it doesn't come in the form of rap,
most of people going to get in the line and believe what people
the tabloids. They're going to read the tabloids.
That's right. And it's going to be the tabloids that they listen to.
Right. They'll read the rap.
Which is fake.
Exactly.
News. Anyway, they'll read I'm not going to go there.
That's okay.
So, yeah.
They'll read the rap, but they will
I'm
not
letting
read.
You know.
Right.
So they'll that's read. What we do. We line up.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Let me put this out there.
We line up for the garbage, but we will not read something that's going to educate us, something that's going to change our trajectory.
Nope.
Yeah. Let me put this out there. And I'm going to start with Luther. Is there hope?
Luther.
He's trying to unmute.
He's trying to unmute it.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Start
You know what? I was listening and I was thinking and I said, until yes, it is up to us to do certain things, but where the collapse is happening, and you were right, is in the tabloids. It's a blurb that you can get everything in three words and then you've got the gist of it. But and I'm going to say not just the youth, until people learn to critically look at the situation and look at consequences that follow actions.
Right.
So when you have an action and they can't see a consequence, then they just come out with what we see, like we said, in the media or on this or on that. But what can I get in a blurb? What can I get when I drop the possessive S? Drives me crazy driving down the street. But anyway.
Okay.
No, I'm with you on that one.
That now we see people send text messages with a whole with a just a string of misspelled words.
Yeah, and that's okay. And that's okay.
Right. And everything's okay.
That's okay. Yeah, and that's
but
okay.
But we've lost, what we've lost is people that actually put in critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
Critical analysis within themselves. Critical analysis of what's taking place, what action took place, and what are the consequences that are going to take place from that. But is there hope?
Yeah. Yes.
There is
yeah.
always a hope. And we know who the hope is. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Hello. Let's that's go to Bernard Fuller.
That's what we have to rely on is the hope in the word of God, you know? And yes. so we just keep on, you know, because I don't think any of us here have the answers, you know, we can tell you some of the problems. And the, you know, the thing about it is, I wish that some of these people that need to hear some of this stuff, like
could hear it. Yes.
That they could be on the line and hear and see their input. Because, you know, like I say, I truly understand a lot of it because just like, who was that Bernard, when he said, you know, it's a way that they found that they could make a little money.
Yes.
But they're not looking at the broad picture. They're looking at the picture right here.
The immediacy.
The immediate picture is right here, just in front of their face. Yes. They don't look at the broad picture that's going to take them through life. That's why you're hearing so much now. It just saddens me to hear about all the suicides amongst that's happening or suicide feelings that's happening amongst our young people also, you know.
Right. And let's go to Cheryl Cooley. Cheryl, is there hope?
Like I said before, I don't have an answer, but I'm going to definitely be optimistic and say there's hope. I can't say it's just going to fall apart because I think we as humans have a way to, recreate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It may not look the same, but I really don't want to say there's no hope.
Right. Okay, Bernard, is there hope?
You're talking to the wrong guy. I don't believe. I don't believe in hope.
Hope is what keeps us going.
Well, keep hope alive.
Yeah, keep hope alive.
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
He's dead already. So hope is dead.
Okay, all hope is gone. Like it's all.
I don't think all hope is gone. I just think that we need to put our shovel down, like some of our ancestors said. We need to put our shovel down where we are and start doing for self and stop expecting these folks to do for us, deliver
yes,
us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Stop absolutely.
Miseducating us, telling us what to think, how to think. They, you know, right now I'm watching and I see this whole thing collapsing, okay? I see all these people over a particular politician, they're all supporting it. These people, and I don't want to get political, don't everybody jump on me, but people got, before you can go to school, you had to get a shot card. You had to have the measles, you had to have the polio shot, you had to have all these different shots before you could enter school. Nobody was worried about what their side effects was. They went and got the shot. Now, you got all these people politically, these so-called leading citizens talking about, I'm not getting that shot. Well, they almost had this virus beat. Now the virus is on the uprise again. And they're talking about, well, I'm not getting the shot. Then you got our people following them. I'm not getting a shot neither.
No, you got our people following the people getting in the line, getting the shot that doesn't do anything.
I don't know what you're talking about. The shot's not doing anything.
I don't know either. Because the numbers was going down. We need to stay away from that conversation. We need to stay away from that conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Let's keep it on topic.
Get off of that conversation.
Yeah. So, but Bernard was trying to make the point that we've got people doing things that just don't make sense, you know, and we're living in a very different world right now, you know, whichever side of the spectrum you fall on, left or right, again, we're not going to get into that. The problem is because that doesn't left and right. The thing about it is, in our community, it doesn't matter.
Now, I'm not talking about just the shots. I'm talking about our people following people.
Following, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so, yes. Yeah. So we have to, we're always looking for somebody to follow. You know, we're always looking for somebody to follow to tell us what to do. We just got to figure out what to do. And again, I implore people to watch that video. Take that link, just copy it and paste it into your browser and take a look at it. I think it's about maybe 12 minutes long, and it talks about why Jewish people are richer. And there's a lot of things in there. See, the things that we need to do, it's not hard. No. It is. There's nothing hard about what we need to do. The hardest part is convincing people to do what they need to do.
Changing.
That's
minds.
It. Well, if we had the mindset to do what we need to do, we would be out of this mess. You know,
we need to do for ourselves. We need to love ourselves, and most importantly, we need to stop being the tail and be the head.
We need to stop waiting on permission.
I heard you say Jewish people. Well, that's exactly what they are. They're Jewish because they wish they were Jews. We are the original Jews. We're the people that were the first people on this planet.
Black man was the first man on the planet.
And that's correct. And according to the scriptures, they said man was created from the dust. Well, the dust is either brown or black. The dust ain't pale. So we were the first people here. We need to stand up and stop being the first people again. We need to be the head and not the tail, chasing people around, following this, allowing people to educate us, put us in the ghettos, allowing people to employ us, give us jobs. You can't give me nothing. I'm a little bit, I might be the same age as you guys. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're all around. We're all from the same generation.
Yes, but I'm of the mind that if I come to you, I know this sister here. I don't know the sister. I can't see a picture, but it's 323.
That's Maxine.
It's Maxine.
Okay, Maxine. I'm not trying to irritate you, honey, but I have my point of view on what I think.
Right. Me too.
Right. And I'm not trying to oppose you in any way. I'm just stating, this is an open show, open air, and I'm just stating how I feel. I'm not trying to be argumentative.
Of course.
Or disagree.
Oh, yeah, me either. I was just giving my opinion, too. I wasn't really arguing with you.
All right, thank you very much. But I believe...
Thank you, too.
All right.
Go ahead, Bernard.
I don't believe in handouts, you know. I believe that
we have
the resources and the power to get what we want, to develop what we want. We are non-producers right now. We're not anything.
That's right.
We're sitting at the feet of a former masters waiting for the crumbs to fall off their table.
And just like George Frazier said, we are headed toward a second slavery. And I want to say this also, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Tulsa, Greenwood, the massacre, and there's all things about that. I just want to tell everybody, particularly the people in California, where they have a lot of very strict gun control. We are one lie. We are one big lie away from another Greenwood. Now, if you know the story about, I'm sure everybody knows maybe the high-level story, you know, it was a lie. They said he tried to rape white women and everything went to hell in a handbasket. That's all that needs to take place. Look what just happened on January 6th over a lie. Those people stormed the Capitol building of the United States where Congress conducts their business. On the day that they were supposed to certify the election, those people thought they had the gumption. They thought they had the right to do that. We are one big lie. Imagine if they were told these people in these communities, they're coming to take your shit. You need to go do something about that. They are waiting on that word. So I implore people to understand that we are one big lie from another Tulsa. And this, do not fail to think that this cannot happen. This can happen. I guarantee you, not a soul on this planet on January 5th, predicted what was going to happen on January 6th. Go ahead, Oren.
That's why I continually, you guys, bring everything is political. Everything is political these days. We need to hold our doggone so-called leaders' feet to the fire. We demand nothing as a people. We have remnants of slavery that we don't even like our own self. You see what I'm saying? We look, and I know you guys know about the little white doll and the black girl doll and the little black girl choose the white doll and all of that. Those are signs that we have taken on the image of the oppressor.
That's right.
Biblical that we do not do that. But what do we do? And I call everybody that we continually do this, that we're sheeple. We're sheeple. We're not people. We're sheeple. We're being told what to do. We're told when to do it. We're told how to do it. Nobody has the opportunity nor the ability for us to really make a difference as individuals. Of course we can within our own self.
Sure.
But when it comes time to say, okay, we're going to go down here and buy this New York Met building for $50 billion. We don't have the finances, nor do we have the other resources to pool together. We know, just like Maxine said, and they know what the deal is, just like the brother was saying about we need to take control for ourselves. We do. But that's why what we need to do is be more demanding and holding out the people that are responsible for these huge sums of money, who are responsible for the allocation of these monies. We need to hold them feet to the fire so we could get some of the resource. We don't have the resource. And all this whole conversation has turned into a political conversation. And the main thing we're trying to avoid is calling it politics. It's politics. It's politics. And we are subjecting ourselves to it, and we're not being participants in it, because we cannot have a difference of opinion as a people. Just like you were saying, baby girl, about how you feel against this. You'd be raked over the coals by people not honoring your opinion. We all have to agree like a bunch of sheep that this is what we're supposed to do. And that's very frustrating for a person like me, because when it gets down to it, believe me, I don't know too many people that was more courageous than my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it like that. And I hold that. Hold on, let me finish. And so I hold that with something within my heart, because when it comes time to stand up, you stand up if ain't nobody standing with you. You stand up anyway.
Understood. I want to bring Leonard Collins in. Leonard is one of our board members and a regular on the program. And Leonard always talks about cultural collectivity, that we lack cultural collectivity. Leonard, well, let's get your thoughts on the topics here with where we are and how much damage rap and hip hop is doing to the community. And let's hear your thoughts.
Absolutely. And welcome to the guest. I'm from Pasadena, so Oren, you probably can't recognize me, but I don't know how long. Anyway, how you doing, brother?
Good to see you.
And the rest of the family. But
hey, how you doing?
Good.
All of us live up in Pasadena, Altadena.
That's right. Oh yeah, we know you.
That's right.
We know you. You're stable in the community. Yeah. It didn't say one water. It said the water. But anyway, let me go forward. One of the things that Kenny and I and many of us talk about is I do talk about the culture collectivity, because I've had the pleasure of studying Filipinos, Koreans, Armenians, and Hispanics. And because I was in the restaurant business for over 50 years, Hispanics is pretty much my family, but I do know who I am. And all of them have one thing: culture collectivity. See, these conversations that we're having about what we need to do, they're doing it. They're not having this conversation. See, we're running in one place like that. What's that hamster on a hamster wheel? Just talking. Yeah. And they're just moving.
We're the real Peloton.
Right. So my in terms of moving, what I do feel good about, my optimism is, you are starting to hear more and more and more conversation about what we need to do. So the younger generation, they don't have a template. So they know they don't know what they're doing. Now, I was a little surprised when I would hear adults say, well, listen to the kids. Now, everybody on this show right now, Daddy, you need to listen to me. I know something. 2 hours later.
After you wake up. After you regain consciousness.
Why is this towel on my head? Daddy knocked you into the wall.
That big knot on your head.
Daddy knocked you into the wall. And then you learn not to answer stupid questions like that, right? And so when you turn around and think about what's going on right now, there really isn't any hope until the generation, and this is my numbers that I use, every brother and sister that was born from 1945 to 1955, if we do not rise, okay, and start to come together and show them this is what's going to happen, because we were a race of proactive behavior. See, if you go back into the 20s or 30s, we had all these great entertainers. We had all these great actors. We had everybody with high standards. And my favorite movie was Stormy Weather. I mean, I just love that movie, right? But now that's not the case. So if we don't start to put a template together, they have no template, because the way that you see things is the way your parents brought you up to see things. Unfortunately, we're the generation that dropped the ball, and we really got to pick it up and apologize and, hey, let's get busy, because we know better. And then the other thing is, if the black man and black father is not in the household, this thing is not going to work. And when we were coming up, 70% of black households had two parents. Now it's down to 30. That number is not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be up to 90 or 91. And then we talk about the gangs in the neighborhood. I remember when I would try to tell my dad about, well, what about them? They can go to the party. You know, again, after he snatched me in the collar, the only house I'm concerned about is this one. And since you live in it, you're the only person I'm concerned about. If such and such parents can allow them to go out, that's on them. But you're not going anywhere. So we need to worry about ourselves. And I know all of us know this, because unfortunately, just like I think someone mentioned, the people that need to hear this, they're not on the show. They're never on the show. I don't care how you want to look at it. But as we begin to move forward, if we don't get to this point, I have predicted economic slavery by 2065. And it won't have anything to do with race. It'll have to do with economics. And just like you said, because we're not producers, we're workers. So the way that we used to work when the jobs that the Mexicans had, we're going to revert back to that. The only difference is we won't get paid a salary. We'll be paid by shelter, and they will feed us. And trust me, this next generation is going to be okay with it. Because the other part of studying these other cultures, each culture that I mentioned, they're bilingual. They speak English and their native tongue, okay? So when we as blacks, because we're not producing, we're going to go looking for a job. And when the interview process, I don't care how qualified you are. I don't care if you got 10 degrees. They're going to ask you, are you bilingual? And when your answer is no, they're going to say this position is a bilingual position.
And Ebonics doesn't count as a second language.
And that's what's going to take us out. But I do believe there's hope. Because in the last 5 years, I hear more and more people, our generation, talking about the future. So there's a unity opportunity. And I think one of the things, Orin, that you touched on, one of the biggest problems black men have is black men that have been successful have the biggest ego in the world. Nobody matches our ego. Nobody matches our ego. So it's hard for you to work together. Because like somebody taught me years ago, and I know, you know, us religious people go and dig this. They said it's the ego. The ego stands for easing God out. And then I took another step and said egos easing God out successfully. Because once he's not in the household, then you already see these things starting to happen. But this is definitely a devil's workshop right now. But anyway, I could talk all day.
Exactly.
Thanks, Kenny.
And not knowing how to listen. I think you have to listen, you have to see, and you have to learn and use what you are seeing and hearing. But, you know, a lot of our folks, I'm sorry, they don't want to listen because of the ego. So what you said is absolutely true.
And because a lot of people feel that, why do I need to listen to you? You're irrelevant. How would you know? Exactly. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. So we have, not only do we have struggles, and the other thing that we talk about, and I, as I watched the Hitsville, the making of Motown, I looked at what those people did. And one of the things that was so, so important about that Motown family was that it was like this. It was like this. At least that is the way it was portrayed. It was like this. They competed against one another, but they were strong together. You could not break Motown. You guys who, okay, but they didn't allow anything to come in there or anybody from the outside to come in and break up that family, that Motown family. And they talked about Holland Dozier Holland. They talked about Marvin Gaye. They talked about all of the people. In fact, they also talked about Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. So they talked about the unity that came about as a result of Berry Gordy's dream. And there was a unification there that we don't see anymore. And the reason we don't see it is because the current generation doesn't think that it's necessary. They don't think it's necessary. And we have people that buy into that. It isn't necessary. It's each man for himself. And remember, there were songs created, God Bless the Child That's Got His Own. But they don't understand what that really meant. They do not understand what that means and what it meant then. So there's a lot that we have to go back and redo because of the way things have gone for decades, because we have not fixed anything. As we continue to move, we've crumbled. We've become so dysfunctional. We've become fractured and frayed. So we don't mind operating in that vein. We don't mind at all. So instead of us fixing something, it's broken. And we live by, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Not knowing it's been broken. You just have not recognized. You haven't recognized it. It's been broken. And we don't want to be told. And just as Julia said, we don't want to listen. We do not want to listen because we always think there's nothing to listen to. There's nothing to listen to. We know it all. We have all the answers. We have all the answers. And as you can see,
to follow in their footsteps, but I say listen to learn.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely what it's about. Listen to
that's
learn.
What listening is about. It's to learn. And we are not learning. We're just not learning.
Well, and, you know, Carlette, I hear you and I agree with most of everything you said, I believe that we should not put our treasures up in this world. I think our treasures should be somewhere where it can't be touched by man, this man. So I believe in the part of the scriptures that says Babylon is fallen. I believe that we wouldn't listen to the Father, God the Father, if I call him Yahweh. But I use the term God because everybody's familiar. We don't listen to God. That's why we're in the condition we're in today.
Absolutely.
But if we don't listen to God, we're not going to listen to anybody else.
That's true.
I believe we're in this condition because we don't pay attention. We should not be in this position that we're
in. That's right.
You know, everything that was brought into existence, God has given us the privilege to bring it into existence. You know, most of the things necessity is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. We invented a lot of things that because we were hostage or slaves, that we couldn't go down and get a patent for it and get the privileges or the rewards from it. You know, I say the only thing that the Caucasian invented was the U.S. Patent Office. He didn't invent anything else because he took everything that we invented. We weren't allowed to file anything, patents or anything. He took it and put his name on it.
Right.
And that, to me, in the conditions that we're in today, symbolize that we're being kind of, we're under a curse, you know? We're being disciplined for our decisions that we're making, and we're being disciplined because we keep hanging on to this system, waiting for this man to deliver us, waiting to work for him, waiting to help him produce that. What happened to producing for ourselves? What happened to getting back to where we need to be, which is believing in God the Father and not this system and not this man and all this other crap that's going down? That's what we keep putting ourselves in the second and third class citizens. That the preacher brother was talking about the community. The Jewish community, their money circulates 10 or more times in their community. The Spanish community, it circulates 8 or 9 times. In our community, it circulates 1 time.
6 hours. It lasts 6 hours in our community.
6 to 7 hours.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
6 to 7 hours, and it's gone.
It's gone out of our community, you know? And then we want to try to go to the polls. They anytime they need us to validate something they use us. Oh, black people, you like Jell-O? His Bill Cosby eating Jell-O. We like Jell-O. Black folks, you like driving Cadillacs? His a black guy driving a Cadillac. Oh, we're just used for justification. That's the only thing they need us for.
Right.
And now that they can't have... Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
You're talking, bro. No, you're so, exactly right. And then we dedicate ourselves to that kind of stuff without demanding that we get something in return. And so therefore we get some hot sauce. We get a bag of chips. We get a McDonald's hamburger or something.
Right.
But I mean, the other boys are straight going to the dog, going bank and getting money to start businesses and stuff like that.
And let me add this in about the demands. But when you... Okay, let me add this. When you have a demand, you have to bring something to the table. You can't just go demanding things. And that's one of our problems. Can you guys hear me?
The swag of the United States comes from us.
Okay, but we don't know how to use it. The problem, Orin, we don't know how to use. We've got the power. We are a trillion, I think $1.6 trillion spending every year. We just don't know how to come together and use it as leverage. That's our problem.
We give it away.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. We need
to put God first in our lives and stop living for this man. Stop believing in this man power and what this man's going to deliver us and what civil rights. We need to really go back to the beginning, to what establish us and make us the head, not the tail, and stop all this crap. That's the hardest thing to do. We got so many things that we're following. Humanism, we're following this, we're following that, we're trying to do this, forget all that. Go back, and you know they say, if you want to hide something from a black person, hide it in a book. They'll break in your house and never look in a book and look for that.
That's right. That's why they're predicting and writing about us today. Put it in writing. We're not going to read it.
That's correct. We're not going to read it. And we need to understand why we're in. It's a prophecy. Why are we in the position that we're in? No matter what we do, we take one step forward and end up two back. Why is this happening to us? Why? The scripture says in the book of Deuteronomy that we're gonna go out and we're gonna build houses, but the house is not gonna, we're not gonna be able to live in it. We're gonna marry a woman, but it's gonna be another man. She's gonna lay with another man. Our sons and daughters are gonna be used for this, that, and we don't even understand that. We let somebody else interpret it for us, and we say, "Oh yeah, that's good enough. Thank you."
That's what we do.
What are we getting out of this? We're missing. Why are we cursed the way we are? That's what I want to know.
Because we are under attack. We are under attack. We are the first people on the face of this earth. And, right. And that's what we want to be. The first will be last, and the last will be first. That's what we got. And we are under attack right now as a people. Our swag from this doggone country comes from us. Believe you me, the way we walk, the way we talk, our doggone whole thing, and the country, they have taken it on, just like what you said. They've taken on our inventions. They've taken on the things that we have created and claim it as their own, and we allow them to do it. We allow them to do it. And so don't put your faith. It's better to have faith in God than put your confidence in man, since we're going to
continue to quote
the word. And so man, that's where that comes
from. Every time.
Yeah. And because we are sheeple. We are sheeple. We see one do it, and we all line up and try to do it without having the opportunity for anybody to have a difference of opinion without them being ridiculed.
We've got about 15 minutes left. I want to take this back to the original topic about the negative music, rap, hip hop. Where we are with that. I'd like to come back to that because we've talked about a whole lot of things in there.
Full circle.
Great conversation. We need to continue having these conversations. We love all you guys. Let's just talk back for the last 15 minutes. Let's talk about, I don't know what we can do. How do we start talking to young people? How do we begin to make them understand that, okay, fine, rap is fine. This, even if it's just tone down a little bit, do something. Like Gil Scott said, she can't be your African queen one day and a joke the next day. Exactly. this is really hurting our community. And dare I say this, I think you could argue that, in my opinion, this negativity has done more damage to our community than the crack epidemic.
But
we've allowed it. It's right. The mindset has been so far gone right now. We've got to figure out how we bring that in. And a lot of people say, meet them where they are. I don't think there's time. If you're standing, if you're sitting on it in a chair on the train track and the train is coming, somebody comes up to you and they're not going to say, well, listen, I'm just trying to figure out why you're sitting here. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I know you're tired and you want to sit down, but you walk over, look, fool, there's a train coming. That's where we are today. We need to let people know that this train is coming, and this next train is economic slavery. We are this close to economic slavery, and if we don't do something about it now, and we've got to shake people, and I understand trying to meet people to where they are. Dr. Umar Johnson, who I'm not a real big fan of, he had an interview the other day, and he said we may need to start having a civil war within our community to get rid of these people who don't understand. Harriet Tubman shot slaves who decided they wanted to go back. She wouldn't let them go back. She shot them. I'm not saying we have to go out and start shooting each other, but metaphorically, we got to do something.
We'd be losing a whole lot of folks. Go ahead, Luther. Go ahead, Luther.
I know I did mention critical thinking. I remember standing in my classroom once at Crenshaw High School.
Yes.
And we were having a discussion pretty much like this discussion that we're having today. And I remember that somebody, and I told the kids, I said that you're training the society to call you that N-word.
Yes.
And you're training the society to call the young ladies the B-word.
Yes.
And I said, so because of your music, and this was in a lesson. And I said, so then you're going to get angry at somebody when he says, here comes that B and her nigga.
Mm-hmm.
trying to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now you mad at him.
Yeah.
Because here comes that N and he's got his B hanging on his arm. So the thing is that the only way that things can be changed is it has to be changed one person at a time. They do not have the ability to do the critical thinking. So if you insert the critical thought process into what they're doing while they're in stride, that maybe you'll correct one. And maybe that one will carry that correction forward into the next step. And you know what? And it's God first. God first. It's in the book. It's in the book.
Right.
God first.
But you know, we have to know who we are. We don't have a clue. They're always telling us who we are. First, we were Negroes. Then Jesse Jackson and somebody else came out African-American. And then we're Black. And then who are we? Who are we? They call us everything but the child of God.
Yes.
And we are children of the Most High.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
When I hear them call us.
And he says he has made us a new ethnos. He has made us into a new creature. And see, what it is we get caught up. If we get caught up in the ethnicity mix of the ethnicity mix of man, then we're going to miss the mark. He said, that is why you have been created into a new creature. And I'm going to sit back on it.
Well, okay. You know what? I don't see them as ethnicity. I see them as believers and non-believers. And right now, we're non-believers. We're running around trying to figure out this and how we can get that and with this materialistic thing and that and this job and that mansion. I had all those things. None of those things made me happy.
No, they won't.
Never made me. I still was this. If I walked out of that community and walked, even in the community, I was the nigga of the community. I was the nigga that owned a big house down the street. I was the nigga that drove the Rolls Royce. Didn't matter. And if I left that community, I was still the nigga. I was the nigga that deposited the last check in the bank.
Yeah. Right.
But we have to, again, train them to not hear themselves as that nigga. You see what I'm saying?
And
we have to train them not to hear themselves as that nigga.
Exactly. And remember,
We need to repent, brother. We need to repent.
Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, yeah.
We need to start understanding who we are and whose we are.
Whose we are, absolutely.
And whose, exactly.
Absolutely, and whose we are. And you cannot forget that somehow, some way along the way, along that road, we decided to look back and say, you know what, I think I need to forget that back then. I'm gonna try to keep going, but we turned around and we lost our way. We turned around and we lost our way. We have completely lost our way in every aspect of our community, in every aspect of our family. We've lost our way. And I'm not sure where it began. I'm a baby boomer. I'm not sure where it began because when I was coming up, we knew the way. We no longer know the way.
That's because you had direction from the household at the home. Now that's why I keep saying it starts in the home.
In the home, it starts in the home. Absolutely,
of our kids. You know, it's a lack of respect, and so I don't really have an answer of what can be done now or anything. I don't have little kids or anything anymore. I know what I did when I was bringing up my daughter, and I know what I did when I was bringing up my grandson. There was certain no-nos. I mean, you know, my daughter can tell you, she talks about it today because she loved Prince. But Prince, back when she was coming up, when she tried to bring billboard in the house and hang it up in her bedroom.
Poster. Posters.
And burn that sucker up. I said, oh no, you're not doing that.
Okay.
With this man singing these, and you know, these
provocative things, yeah.
And so I didn't allow it. I didn't allow it. Her dad didn't allow it. So the things that's happening with musically is the upbringing from the household, seeing certain things happen in the households that shouldn't be happening.
Right, right.
Because kids are going to, they're going to see and they're going to try to mimic what you do. And
what they see,
lack of responsibility of bringing those kids, doing this, you know, there's other contributing factors, of course,
with sure.
the music out of the schools and stuff like that. But we didn't do our jobs either in bringing them up to have more of a respect for, not only themselves, but other people. If you don't have respect for yourself, you're not going to have respect for others.
Let me say this.
There are politicians in place right now that have done things that are on record that have purposefully destroyed the Black family.
Including Patrice Cullors.
We support them.
Yes.
Their track record, documented track record, shows that they have done things to destroy the fabric of the Black family.
That's true.
We give them a pass.
Yeah,
and let me say this.
When they pull things like music.
We know who they are.
When they pulled music out of schools, they've done a lot of damage to the schools. And see, I'm not a big proponent of Black History Month because I think it's a joke. You're going to learn about Harriet Tubman, George Washington Carver, and Barack Obama. They don't even teach white history right. Why are we mad because they won't teach us Black history? Why would we think they're going to teach it right? Black history should be learned at home. That's where I taught my kids Black history, at home. And so if they don't have it in school, I don't have a problem with that because they need to learn that at home. And when those are the things Julia's talking about, white people need to know Black history. I don't care whether they know Black history or not. But the thing about it is what Julia is saying. But the more important thing is that we know it and that we teach our kids because that's who they know who they are. Because when they go to school, they're going to teach the school is going to teach the way they teach. That's the way they do things, right, wrong, or indifferent. And we've got to teach our kids at home. Because what you do at home is you're augmenting what they teach at school. And then when your kids come home and they say, "What about this?" You can teach them the truth. Just like you said, Bernard, don't keep telling them what you're thinking.
Bernard.
What about us celebrating Labor Day?
I don't care anything.
That's not a joke.
For most folks, it's just a day off anyway. So.
Go ahead, Oren, and then we're going to go to Cheryl. Go ahead, Oren.
Our place in history needs to be solidified. We are a part of the history, not only the fabric of this country, but of the world. If we feel like only thing that we need to do is just learn about our own self, then our story will never be told.
No, it's not about just learning about our own self. We learn about the world, but what I'm talking about is the fact that we get mad at the schools. When people in the homes are not doing enough to make sure that they're teaching their kids, we learned about Black history. We didn't learn anything about Black history in school. As a matter of fact, when we were in high school with John Muir, they took away the Black the BSU, the Black Student Union. We had to start calling it the Black Cultural Organization. But we learned about Black history at home. Our mother taught us about Black history. Okay, and that's what we need to do.
They're taking their kids because of that. They taught us at home. They're taking our children earlier. They're taking them in preschool. They're taking them in the kindergarten, before kindergarten, and they're teaching them. Because when I was coming up, you didn't start school till you got to kindergarten, five, 6 years old. Now they're taking them early, preschool. And
that's right. They have to. At two years old.
Sometimes at 6 months, 18 months.
That's right.
And you know what they're going to tell them? They're going to tell them his story.
That's right.
They ain't going to tell them the story.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
His story. And that is why.
That is exactly what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying.
Culture and the contributions that we have made to the fabric of the human race is paramount.
That's right. Right. And there's a photograph online that's being circulated of the men and women that built the Capitol in Washington, D.C. It's that all those slaves that built that building. And when those insurrectionists walked into that building on January 6th, they said, "We're taking it back. It's ours. It ain't never been yours." And if we had walked in there and said, "We're taking it back, it's ours," we'd have every right to do that because it is ours.
And they would have still been counting bodies ahead.
They would still be counting bodies.
And we've got about a minute and a half. Colette, please take us home.
Yeah. Cheryl, your last thoughts on this. You're on mute.
Yes. Okay. Like I said, I mean, I've learned a wealth of information just listening to all of you. I appreciate your knowledge, your expertise. You're willing to share it. Yeah, we, you know, somehow or another, we have to get out here and get our young people to wake up. Unfortunately, I have no children, so I can't relate to that. But I, you know, I'm here to support however I can inspire children and young people.
And yes. You do. And you continue to inspire us as well. And thank you so much for all that you've given
always been the
to the world. That's right. Go ahead, Oren. Go ahead, Oren.
Her music has always been the bomb.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And Colette, we've got about 60 seconds.
Okay. So I would like to thank all of you. I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart, from the top of my heart to the bottom of my heart.
Oh, I was out.
So very much. Thank you so very much. It would not have been a show without you.
And well, let me say thank you. Let me say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And thank you guys for having us on.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Love you guys.
Absolutely.
I had television or something and not learn anything. But now I feel like I have made friends with everybody.
For life. This is a family. This is a family. This is the beginning of the unity. It begins right here. So thank you all very much. Bernard, Oren, Luther, Julia, Cheryl, Maxine, Paul Jackson Jr., all of you. Lenny Williams, even though they weren't here this evening, they just couldn't get here. We love you. We thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much. And thank you always for agreeing to do what I ask you to do. I love it. Thank you so very, very much.
Love
thank
you,
so
Mr.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. And tomorrow, we've got another great show right here in the mix, Conversations with Colette and Colette. We've got another great show. And then it all begins on Sunday again. So thank you for being with us right here at ITRNradio.com. Have a good evening. And does anybody need a lift home?
Bye-bye.
Good bye-bye. Night, everyone. Take care. Be safe. Wear your mask. Stay away from people. Have a good night.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Good night. Take care.